Heavenly Father, we once again thank you for what you have done for us. We come before you to give our thanks and praise and worship. Father, be with us now. And also pray that if Helen is on her way, please protect her. And whoever is on their way, be with them, Lord. And also who is missing today, please encourage them in their walk with them, Lord. In the name of Yeshua HaMashiach, I pray. Today, I would like to talk about, can we run ahead of God? Can we run ahead of God? For committed believers, answer is very clear, but I want to go through this. After the loss of our dear Messianic leader, Rabbi Marvin, I have been trying to find a successor to him, so far without success. I know we have to decide the future of Shekinah congregation very shortly. I was speaking with Pastor Chuck. He said, you're going to be okay until June, which is only about 4 months away. We all love the fellowship. We enjoy at Shekinah every Saturday. We spend, you know, so much time talking to each other and then, you know, praying. We spend wonderful time encouraging with each other. And today, I would like to open Genesis 16 to share what I have learned so far. At first glance, this scripture part looks like nothing related to Shekinah's situation, but it has a lot to teach us. The background to Genesis 16, remember that Abraham didn't have a son, and he decided to take his wife's, servant, Hagar, as a concubine, as his wife, and he has a wife, a child, Ishmael. But that was not what God's plan was. So let's look at background. Is this God's promises to Abraham? Genesis 12:3. God promises to Abraham, "I will bless those who bless you, and whoever curses you, I will curse. And all peoples on earth will be blessed through you." So that means he is going to have offspring. The second promise is very similar. Genesis 13, chapter 13, verse 14 to 17. The Lord said to Abram, after Lot had departed from him, "Look around from where you are, to the north and south, to the east and west." This is like after destruction of Sodom and Gomorrah. "All the land that you see, I'll give it to you and your offspring forever. I'll make your offspring like the dust of the earth, so that if anyone could count the dust, then your offspring could be counted. Go walk through the lengths and be breach of the breadth of the land, for I am giving it to you." So here he's saying, "I'll give you many descendants." The problem Abraham had was his wife, Sarai was barren. She couldn't have children. She didn't have children. And when this happened, we'll move on, but until old age, she was barren. So this is a problem. God promised, I'm going to bless you, whole world, through you. And also, I said, I'll give you many descendants. But the fact was, there was no child, not even one. So without a child, God's promise made to Abraham in Genesis 13, will become null and void. Genesis chapter 13, I will read verse 14 to 17. And the Lord said to Abram, after Lot had separated from him, lift your eyes now and look from the place where you are, northward, southward, eastward, and westward. For all the land which you see, I give to you and your descendants forever. And I will make your descendants as the dust of the earth. See, so that if a man could number the dust of the earth, then your descendants also could be numbered. Arise, walk in the land through its lengths and its widths, for I give it to you. So I'm repeating the same things as before. Now, what Abraham did, Abraham's decision, okay, Genesis 16, verse 2, here we read, and Sarai said to Abraham, behold now, the Lord has prevented me from bearing children. Go into my maid. It may be that I shall obtain children by her. And Abraham hearkened to the voice of Sarai. This I looked up and hearkened, listened to, but just not listen to, but like a Shema, listen, obey. That's what he did. So this is the problem. Abraham was supposed to be the leader of his family, but he listened to his wife Sarai. In other words, God said one thing, he promised, and Sarai said, go ahead and have it, because basically she's saying, you know, God is not reliable. But that was not what God intended. God, he promised, when he promised, he always come through. So Abraham obeyed the voice of Sarai as over against the voice of God. You know, he heard God say that, but he listened to Sarai. And we see eventually this leads to a catastrophe. To this day, you know, you see the conflict between Jewish people and Arab nations, and this goes back way back to time of Abraham, Ishmael's Abraham's son through Hagar. You might note here that even though it was not Hagar's decision to lay with her master Abraham, once she became pregnant by Abraham, she became arrogant. You know, she thought, I made it. And she despised his mistress, Sarai. Then it continues, Genesis 5. Sarai said to Abram, my wrong be upon you. She said, go ahead and have a child. But when Hagar becomes arrogant, she became so frustrated. I gave my maid into your embrace, and when she saw that she had conceived, I became despised in her eyes. The Lord judge between you and me. She's not taking responsibility. It was her suggestion, you know. Abraham should have acted as the spiritual leader and told his wife God was able to perform what he promised, and they didn't need to try to help God in the, you know, through our works of flesh. So this is the something we want to be mindful. Later on we'll come to the Shekinah issues. I will just skip some part, because something very interesting comes out that, you know, angels speak to the Hagar at the well, and so this is another a pre-incarnate of Yeshua, but I will bring that one later on, another time. Why did God allow this to happen? Why did he just let Hagar and Ishmael disappear from the history? So, but I don't have the list answer, but I see that when we do make our own decision without Lord's guidance, we have to pay for the consequence of the decision we make. Now, I move on to what is a good decision. God had told Abram that his heir should be a son of his body, but had not yet told him that it should be a son of Sarai. Therefore, he thought, why not by Hagar, since Sarai herself proposed it? So here's the first point. Foul temptations may have very fair pretenses. It looks, you know, reasonable, and be colored with that which is very plausible. You know, looks, sounds very good idea. The second point is fleshly wisdom, as it anticipates God's time of mercy, so it's put us out of God's way. So when we make our own decision and try to do help him out, you know, we make mistake. Here we say, as I said, summarize, foul temptation may have very fair pretense. It looks good. But if it's not what God showed you, then we cannot follow it. And our wisdom put us in out of God's way. You know, sometimes we think we know better. And oftentimes I fall into the, you know, wrong by doing own thing and regret. So the concluding thoughts is this. We cannot and should not make a decision for God. We have to wait upon his leading. Earlier, the Lord makes in Genesis 12, 1 to 3, saying, he will bless Abraham. That was an unconditional promise, but God could not wait upon God. The entire conflict between Jews and Arabs today can be traced back to Abraham's decision to help God out in the flesh. So the effects, we can see the effects of our sin may reach far beyond what we can ever imagine. Now, how do we apply what we learned in Genesis 16 in our life? When we make a decision based on our carnal understanding or wishes, we could end up with serious consequences which cannot be undone. I've found out this interesting verse in Proverbs 3, verse 5 and 6. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge him, and he shall direct your paths. Now, we all know these verses, but we often make our own decision, and that leads to disaster. Second thing was continue praying for the future of Shekinah congregation. What is his will? What is his solution? See, I have been in touch with a few people, and so far we have a number of people willing to come and speak every Saturday. So that's wonderful. At the same time, I've been talking to this Messianic teacher, Jewish teacher, and he has young family, young children, so he's extremely busy now, but maybe towards the end of this year, we may be able to revisit this issue, but so there's no commitment. But you know, I feel, okay, let's close it, but we cannot do that unless God shows us this is the way to do it. See, we have to follow him, not run ahead of him. Hebrew chapter 13, verse 6. Hebrew chapter 13, verse 6. Let your conduct be without covetousness. Be content with such things as you have. For he himself has said, I will never leave you nor forsake you. So we may boldly say, the Lord is my helper. I will not fear. What can man do to me? I think this applies to our situation, not just a personal issue, but congregational issue as well. So let us not be discouraged by looking at difficult circumstances. Our Lord is the divine enabler. Let us draw closer to the Lord and seek his guidance together as his children. So this was a short message, but when I look at Abraham and Sarah, it didn't look like anything what we are facing, but it actually does. Abraham made a mistake, Sarah made a mistake. They went ahead without really, consulting God. And same thing applies to us. And then God leads us. When we follow him, everything is going to be all right with the Shekinah congregation. We have been enjoying the fellowship so much. And personally, I like to continue, but only we'll follow God and see what he's going to do for us. So this concludes my sharing.